The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the fourth chapter. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming back here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband, and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest?' But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." This is the gospel of the Lord. Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. What we're dealing with this morning is thirsty people in a thirsty world. John's gospel starts the story at a well. It's not just any well, it's a well on the outskirts of a Samaritan village. And as the story tells us, Samaritans and Jews did not have warm relations. In fact, Jews looked down on Samaritans as racially inferior, morally unclean, and religiously ignorant. And then there's the fact that in that day, no self-respecting Jewish man would ever speak publicly to a woman who wasn't his wife or very close relative. Never mind a foreigner. But this particular foreign woman had yet another mark against her. Now, John tells us it was noontime. And that's the hottest part of the day to be doing the hard work of going out to the well, drawing the water, and bringing it back to town. Why was she there then? I mean, every other woman from the village would have been there first thing in the morning before the sun went up. Well, see, the implication is that as a woman with 5 past husbands, now living with a man who wasn't her husband, she was not welcome when the other women were there. The shame that her fellow villagers piled onto her made her an outsider among outsiders. This woman was thirsty. Not just needing water for her throat, but water for her soul. Now, let's be clear about something. Samaritans, they did have only a corrupted version of Israel's faith. And yes, this woman had been divorced by 5 men in a row. See, in that day, divorce could only be done by the man. No matter how hard she tried, she kept getting abandoned and rejected. Not even the other women of the village would provide her any support, any comfort or encouragement. And so you can well imagine her surprise when a Jewish rabbi not only speaks to her, but asks her for a drink. Now again, it's not as if Jesus treats her like nothing's wrong. He very gently points out her theological errors and shows that he's aware of her current living arrangements. She is a mess. But Jesus doesn't treat her like one. He doesn't pile on more guilt or shame. He doesn't blame her. Instead of treating her like a problem, he treats her like a thirsty woman who's desperate for a drink. He sees a soul that is thirsting for love, for grace, for belonging and hope. Now, what if we looked at the world around us in the same way? instead of blaming people for all the vices of the world, and yes, there are plenty of vices in the world, what if we recognized that pretty much every vice is nothing but a short-circuited pursuit for love and for grace? See, this world can be such a desert that people will drink anything to satisfy their spirits. Addictions, money, moralism and tradition, control, conspicuous consumption, these are all ways that people try to quench the desire for wholeness that's inside every one of us. And even the nasty things, even prejudice and anger and all the ways that people get so riled up over politics, it's the same thing. And it may taste bitter when it's going down, but when you're desperate, you'll drink anything. See, the woman at the well didn't need guilt. She had been drinking down the spiritual equivalent of salt water. And it was just making her thirstier and thirstier. She needed living water. And that's what our world needs. Not a bunch of excuses saying, oh no, don't worry, there's nothing wrong. There's no sin. You're just fine. No, not that. But not judgment and condemnation either. A dry and thirsty world needs a gift. A gift of water that can refresh and bring life so that it can stop downing all the poison. Now, what is this living water? It's the unconditional love of Jesus that sets us free not just to receive love, but to truly give it as well. It's the mercy and promise of God that gives peace to anxious, burdened souls. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit that creates a new community of faith where we can be connected through compassion to a purpose that's bigger than just ourselves. The living water that Jesus gives is the grace poured out for you in his death and resurrection. This water is a way of life in the Holy Spirit that is secure and joyful and fulfilling. This living water is acceptance and healing. It's forgiveness and restoration. This is what our world needs. But isn't it also what we desperately need? I mean, face it, we can't give water to others if we're dying of thirst ourselves. So I'm going to ask you the incredibly blunt question. What are you drinking? How are you quenching the thirsts of your soul? Because honestly, we are all thirsty for love, for truth, for peace, and for hope. What are you drinking? For too many people, the answer is, well, nothing. But a parched soul will not only wilt, it also won't be able to offer a drink of water to anyone else either. Well, worse than nothing, though, and so much more common, is the reality that we may very well be drinking salt water. You see, it looks like the real thing, but if we keep drinking it, it'll kill us. We think that we can find security in our bank accounts, value from our jobs, that we think we can find hope from playing the odds, either at Harrington or on Wall Street. And if we go looking, our culture has this kind of drink by the gallon. Everything from iPhones to fancy houses to gym memberships to that idea of someone younger and cuter than your current spouse. All of it to supposedly finally make you happy. Well, here's the truth. That'll just make you thirstier and thirstier the more you drink, until something inside you dies. Jesus gives the living water that can truly satisfy you. You are washed in it in holy baptism, where God's love makes you clean and seals you as His beloved child forever. You can drink deeply of it whenever you hear those words of the forgiveness of sins. In the teaching of Scripture, there is water that doesn't intoxicate us with false opinions, but can delight and sustain you with joyful, life-giving wisdom. Jesus is the living water who gives Himself to you in Holy Communion. You can drink of His goodness whenever you pray. He will fill your cup to overflowing right when you pour His love out to others. Everything that your heart and mind and soul really need is found in the goodness of Christ. Drink deeply of Him. Let Him fill you with peace and joy and power. Let Him wash you clean and connect you to His body, the church. And when you do, then be ready to share that water with others. Because it is a thirsty world. And we've got the best drink there is. Let's learn how to really enjoy it. And then invite the world around us to come on in. Because in here, the drinks are on the house. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand.